Run It Up. Thursday night. Will Sledd, Justin Scarlett. Peyton Gallagher here with you, speaking to you now. Cade Mays is free.
Free my dog out the bean.
That is correct. He will play football in 2020. Tennessee's offensive line will be one of the best in the nation. It already was. It got a lot better today. Developments coming out of the middle of the country. The Big Ten officially is going to play football. We've known that. We haven't really touched it on this program. We will today, and the Pac-12 is assumed to be following. We'll get some clarification on that later as well. But we'll start the program off with Joe Burrow.
Go Tigers.
That's the one. So, Joe Burrow is really good. I'm not just saying that a guy who threw 60 touchdowns this past year is good because that is some bombshell take or galaxy-brained revelation. Of course he's good. But, like, Joe Burrow is, like, really good. Like, really, really good. Like, I think by the end of the year, we could be talking about this guy as a playoff quarterback good on a team that has no business being there. We will see it here in a couple minutes, and I promise you, he's appointment television now. His debut was inauspicious at times. He struggled. He had a nice run, showed off some mobility that, if you really watched him, you knew he had, but I don't think most people expected out of him. But when it came down to it, his team stayed in the game, had an opportunity, and with quarterbacks, it's never going to be about what happens for the first three quarters. We don't regard Phillip Rivers as an all-time great. I mean, I guess some of us do, but he's never won when it really counted. Joe Burrow is not built like that. Joe Burrow is, in fact, built different.
Constructed alternatively.
Not a lot of rookie quarterbacks could have done what he did. He led one of the best drives I've ever seen from a rookie QB to end that game against the Chargers. With 3 minutes left, he strutted the offense 62 yards down the field, completing 8 of his 10 passes. It was surgical, and it looked like he had done it for 15 years. This was his first start against a really good defense. A defense that made sure Burrow was uncomfortable all game long. The Chargers collapsed the pocket on an average of 2.1 seconds per play. If you were unaware, that is very fast, even for the NFL. We talk all the time about how rookies get to this level and the game is a lot faster. Multiply that by two for Joe Burrow, and he was unfazed. Yeah, he made mistakes. He looked uncomfortable at times, especially at the beginning of the game. But he's a rookie playing his first game. Did he show up like seldom rookies I have seen ever to lead his team when they needed him? Yes. Emphatically, yes. They lost the game after a bogus OPI call against AJ Green on a touchdown that should have been a touchdown and a bottled field goal attempt from a guy, and Randy Bullock, who then faked an injury and got cut. Maybe he didn't fake an injury. That might be harsh. But it certainly looked like the thing you do on the playground after you do something really stupid. I'm hurt. Sub me out, coach.
Bad week to be a kicker in the AFC, honestly. In between him and Gostkowski.
Austin Seibert, cut by the Browns, signed by the Bengals, plays them tonight. Austin Seibert, revenge game. Shout out Younghoe Koo.
Kicker carousel.
Kicker carousel. He gave his own performance, Justin, today a D. He wasn't great. No touchdowns, one pick. He ran for one, just a little bit under 200 yards. But a D? I don't think we're going to be seeing very much of that out of number nine. This guy is going to be a top 10 QB very soon. I would not be surprised if it's by the end of the year. I talked to Stephen Ruiz, the lead NFL writer, at For the Win and the co-host of the Counter podcast, about that very topic, everything going on with the game tonight between the Browns and the Bengals, the battle for Ohio. and a bunch of other fun NFL stuff. That's on the other side of a break. This is Run It Up, WKGN, Fox Sports Knoxville.
Hey, it's Weston, the Fish Brown, former member of the Blitz on
Run It Up. We're in the first hour. Thursday night. Football is... I said that really country for some reason. Thursday night football is going to be played here in a couple of minutes. I just talked up Joe Burrow. If that doesn't get you excited to watch the game, I don't necessarily know what will. This guy's going to be appointment television. I talked to Steven Ruiz again. That is the lead NFL writer at For the Win and the co-host of the Counter Podcast with Chris Corman. That's with USA Today. He is an awesome guy. He's a very smart guy. And we talked about a whole range of topics, including this football game that's upcoming tonight, Joe Burrow, and everything else that took place in the NFL this past weekend and will take place this weekend. So we'll get to that right now. Now joined by Steven Ruiz. He's the lead NFL writer at For the Win and the co-host of the Counter Podcast with Chris Corman. It's a good listen. You should check it out. You'll be better for it. And Steven, let's get into this matchup here on Thursday night on our airwaves, Westwood One. The Browns are a team that was very disappointing, I think is lightly putting it, in week one. They only used play action on 7 of Baker's 39 throws with the Ravens, which is weird to me because I thought it would be a real staple of this offense considering how much Stefanski likes that and the personnel suits it perfectly. Do you expect to see more of this tonight and moving forward?
I really don't know what to expect out of Stefanski because last year when the Vikings started to have problems, no one really knew whether it was him that fixed them or whether it was Gary Kubiak. So maybe without that Kubiak influence, maybe we won't see as much play action. And then one of the things we really didn't see was play action off of that wide zone fake that like is so integral to that type of offense. It was really disjointed and it was nothing like I expected to see, like you said. So I think that's what they need to do to help Baker out, because just having him drop back and, you know, read the defense on his own is clearly not working.
Yeah, he looks so disoriented for most of that game, and then he has this drive where it just kind of cuts through all of it. They have this perfect drive where they mix the run and the pass. Kareem Hunt's rolling. They've got the tight ends making plays. David Njoku's out there running around. We didn't see a lot of that. Do you expect more 12 personnel groupings with both those tight ends on the field tonight against this Bengals team that doesn't have a lot of stalwarts on the defensive end?
I wouldn't be surprised. Well, one, they invested a lot of money in the tight end position by bringing in Hooper, and they obviously drafted another tight end, and then Njoku was a first-round pick. But you have this quick turnaround, so maybe, you know, Stefanski falls back on the base of his offense. And I would assume that's, you know, 12 personnel, play action, wide zone fake. So hopefully that's the case. Like I said, they need to do something to make things easier on Baker Mayfield because he's not going to do it on his own.
It almost feels like, and I'm looking at it from the outside looking in, you're much smarter than I am when it comes to this stuff, but it almost feels like too much is going on. You've got all these guys that are high caliber, superstar players, especially before they got to Cleveland, guys like OBJ, Kareem Hunt, and they really haven't found an offensive identity. Now, it's been a week, so I'm not sounding the alarms just yet, but when you're talking about these guys, specifically in the backfield, how do you think they need to balance Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb and then the rest of their offensive personnel?
I think they need to, like, not focus on force-feeding someone the ball like Odell or Landry or any of the running backs. I think, you know, you just ride the hot hand, because I don't really see a huge difference between Chubb and Kareem Hunt as runners. I think Hunt is a better pass catcher. But – I don't think that's the problem. I think it is just Baker Mayfield is – you have to realize that you – I don't think you can put him in the driver's seat. He's not one of those quarterbacks. You have to treat him like a quarterback like Jared Goff or Jimmy Garoppolo or one of these guys. And I don't think the problem is trying to, you know, spread the ball around. I think that's the problem. Once that happens, because Baker Mayfield had opportunities on Sunday. There was opportunities.
Cannot hang on. No, they're going to say he did inside the 30-yard line. What a catch.
Yeah, and it is important to note that this Bengals secondary is not that Ravens secondary, and there may be some more opportunities to make plays, especially on this short week. But you mentioned it there. Odell was open. I saw your tweet today. There were a lot of outbreaking routes, a lot of moments where Baker could get him the ball and didn't, and then at times it was just force-feeding him. I think there was a drive where they targeted him six times and completed like two balls. So right. That's obviously not great. What do you think the best role for him operating in this offense is, Odell Beckham Jr., that being?
I think how they used him in that game, like, Baker just has to throw him. I tweeted the one out, which was like a quick out, but he got open a couple times deep and didn't get the ball, and you could see he was frustrated. He didn't, like, show it too much, but, like, on one of the plays, for instance, they ran, like, a four verticals concept, and he was the outside receiver, and I think it was Marcus Peters was the cornerback. He kind of, like, let him go, and Odell was on the sideline, like, raising his hand, and Baker didn't throw him the ball, and he kind of, like, looked up to the sky in frustration. But, yeah, Baker just has to throw him the ball. He just has to be confident in what he's seen and throwing the ball accurately. I think if he does those two things, then this Odell Beckham connection will start to hit more often.
And you can follow Steven on Twitter at @TheStevenRuiz. You touched on something that I think is particularly interesting. Baker's confidence, because that kind of is the cornerstone of his whole brand. That is, I think, the reason the Browns trusted him with the first overall pick a couple years ago, and it looks shaken. Have you heard anything from inside that organization or around the league regarding Baker and where he stands right now?
No, like, in training camp, everyone was raving about his confidence and how, like, the whole offense was confident that this was going to get turned around. And we've heard it since then, in the press conferences that have happened since the loss in Baltimore. I don't think they're too worried about it. I wouldn't have been too worried about it because it is the Ravens offense. And that's such an offense, such a bad matchup for them because of the things they do defensively and sending blitzes. I think a quarterback like Baker's always going to have trouble with those types of defenses. So I think this week has to be a confidence builder. Hopefully that works out. If it doesn't, and they lose or the offense struggles, I think it's going to be a long 10 days in Cleveland.
Well, you could argue the best moment of Baker's short career came on a Thursday night in his debut against the Jets. So maybe he can rekindle the magic. I think it's important to talk about, and this will be the last Cleveland question before we move on to Cincinnati, Bill Belichick. With these tackles, both new guys, that is pretty rare in the league that both tackles that are starting for a team are new transplant players. Jedrick Wills, they get him in the draft. And then Jack Conklin, they bring over from Tennessee. What do you think of their performance against Baltimore?
I honestly didn't think it was that bad. There was a couple of times when they gave us some pressure, but I thought Baker was more responsible for that. There was one where Conklin kind of had his guy. He was like in between Baker and the pass rusher, but Baker rolled out to his right as he typically does and kind of invited the pressure. It was able, Conklin had no way of blocking him. He would have had to go around the defender to get on the other side of him. So I wouldn't put anything that happened on Sunday on the tackles or the offensive line as a whole. I thought they did fairly well considering what they were going up against. That's always a tough pass rush to go up against.
Indeed. And now let's take a look at Cincinnati, because Joe Burrow, a little bit uneven, I think that's fair to say. Mm-hmm. But once he got his feet underneath him, especially in that last drive, I at least personally felt like watching it, I was seeing something special take place. Not many rookie quarterbacks can just come in and lead a drive like that. Of course, Bullock misses a field goal, and before that, the OPI that washed out the touchdown. But he was pressured a lot in that game, and that was the biggest concern with him this year is would they be able to protect him? Hopefully we aren't running into another David Carr situation, but what do you think Myles Garrett might do to Joe Burrow tonight? And are you at all scared for him?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to hopefully he doesn't do anything with a helmet, but I do think he's going to put a lot of pressure on him. The one concern I had with Burrow coming out of college was that I didn't think his athleticism, especially his movement in the pocket, was going to play as much as it did at the college level because you're dealing with NFL athletes, whereas he was dealing with college athletes. And we saw that a little bit in Cincinnati, he tried to scramble a lot, and those scrambles got snuffed out pretty easily. So I think one thing he's got to do is, you know, remain calm in the pocket, know his limitations. And I think he did that as the game wore on. So I'm optimistic. I actually think Baker Mayfield needs to approach the game more like Joe Burrow does. Burrow, like Mayfield, they both, I think, have average arms. But Burrow realizes, and he knows he beats defenses with his mind and his poise, not with his arm. He's not going to outthrow a defense. So hopefully we continue to see signs of that, because I think that's his path to being a good quarterback.
Yeah, definitely. If you watched LSU games last year, you heard Gary Danielson compare him to Tom Brady, and that's probably a little bit rash. But cerebellity, if that's a word, his mental approach to the game is why that exists. And you're totally right. I am interested, after seeing what it looked like and seeing him have that high-level understanding of the game against the Chargers, did you come away believing in the weapons? Because it sounds like you believe in Joe. But did you come away believing in the weapons and how you saw Zach Taylor choose to approach the offense?
The weapons are fine if you're not including the offensive line. The offensive line is pretty bad. Like, A.J. Green looked like A.J. Green. And yeah, he would have had another 50 or 40 yards and a touchdown if Burrow doesn't miss him on a deeper throw. And then John Ross got behind the defense, but he dropped a long touchdown. He dropped another pass on the sideline. So I think the guys are going to get open. I think T. Higgins is going to come along. It's going to take him some time just because of what happened in the offseason. There wasn't really an offseason this year. So, yeah, I think the weapons are fine. It's just I'm not confident in Zach Taylor, really. One thing that Zach Taylor doesn't do that his mentor, I guess you would call him, Sean McVay, is use play action a lot. That's another guy that didn't use play action at all on Sunday. I think it was only four times, and that's not really a change from last year. They didn't use a lot of play action last year either.
Yeah, it is interesting because the running back obviously would make you believe in this running game, just Joe Mixon alone. The tight ends aren't that special. Actually, I don't even know if I can name the starting tight end, Cincinnati Bengals. But it would be interesting to see if he can start to incorporate that play action game, and that leads me to my next question, which is, how do you anticipate this offense to evolve as Joe Burrow grows up throughout the year and they start to figure things out?
I think they need to start giving him more stuff that he did at LSU. We've seen other smart coaches do that before, like Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. When the Panthers drafted Cam Newton, they did that. But we didn't really see that on Sunday. And I think part of the problem, I can't put it all on Zach Taylor. They don't have the offensive line to do that. One of the things LSU did a lot was, you know, spread things out, get all five eligible receivers out to the route. Whereas you can't do that with that offensive line. You have to keep some backs and tight ends in the block. So it's kind of hard for him to do that, but I think he's got to try his best and find ways to mitigate the offensive line and still be able to keep Burrow comfortable. That's why you get paid a lot of money to be an NFL head coach.
Do you think the screen game could be an answer, getting creative with the screens?
Yeah, I mean, that's something we saw. I keep going back to McVay. That's something we saw McVay do on Sunday. I think the Rams threw like nine screens. So, I mean, that's one way to mitigate a pass rush and kind of slow it down, because you keep throwing screens, you know, the defensive ends are going to have to like slow down their rush.
Yeah, I definitely like that angle for them. I agree with you wholeheartedly on trying to integrate that LSU offense to the NFL. It worked. It worked better than anything we've ever seen at the college level. Personally, I was a proponent of them going out and trying to get Joe Brady. That didn't happen. He is in Carolina now. I want to know, before we move on from this game, do you think either of these teams can make the playoffs? And is it outrageous to think that Cincinnati might actually have a better chance of getting a wild card spot than Cleveland?
I'm going to say no. I actually picked the Browns to make the playoffs before the season. And I didn't do it like I didn't do it knowingly. Like I actually went through every game and picked the game one by one, and that just kind of how it worked out. They ended up going 8-8, and somehow they made the playoffs like that. But I was also expecting the offense to look more like what we saw in Minnesota last year, which wasn't the case. So unless that happens, then no, I'm not confident that the Browns will make the playoffs. And I think the Browns are a better team than the Bengals. They just have too much talent to not be a better team. And there's too many flaws in that defense and in that offensive line. Like, I don't think you can work around those issues.
Yeah, I think it just comes down to How much do you believe in Joe Burrow? I believe in Joe Burrow a lot, not that much. All right. Who do you have winning this football game here on Thursday night?
I'm going to go with the Browns because of the short turnaround and because of they're at home, although, you know, it's not like Cincinnati has to travel too far. But like I said, they're just the better team, and I think Myles Garrett is going to have a day against that offensive line.
I would hypothesize we're going to see the same thing. Myles Garrett is going to have a fun time against these offensive tackles. Okay, let's move on from that game and look at the league at large. 0-2 teams make the playoffs less than 13% of the time. That stat has been well publicized. Which 0-1 team needs to make a win happen for them the most this week?
That's a good question. I think the Eagles have to. I don't think the Eagles can afford to lose. I actually think they're going to win this game. I know they're – I think they're underdogs at home, but they're getting Lane Johnson back. Mm-hmm. I don't think Carson Wentz – hopefully he doesn't turn the ball over three times again. But if they go 0-2, especially in that city with that locker room hasn't always been the tightest locker room. There's always been rumblings about whether they actually like Carson Wentz. If they go 0-2, I think it might get rough in Philadelphia.
Yeah. with all the Wentz hate that exists on the internet, I would not be surprised. If people start calling for them to trade for Nick Foles, that could be on the table. Let's talk about that Eagles O-line, though. You mentioned Lane Johnson coming back. They missed him badly last week. Is Washington's defensive line the best unit in football, or was that patchwork Eagles O-line that bad?
Ooh, that's a complicated question. Because I thought there was a lot of things contributing to the Eagles' inability to protect Carson Wentz. Part of it was Carson Wentz holding the ball too long and not, you know, finding hot routes to throw the ball. Their protection, I didn't – like, personnel-wise, I didn't think it was that bad when I rewatched the game. A lot of it was, like, scheme, and they were just sliding the wrong way. The running back missed a few pickups. The right tackle, who I believe was a rookie, and he won't be playing next week, he had a gaffe that was pretty bad and led to a sack. But Chase Young is very good, and he made Jason Peters look very bad, which has been tough to do. I don't know what Peters is going to look like going forward. But, yeah, I think it's a combination of the two. I don't know if I'm ready to fully buy into this Washington pass rush because Chase Young is great, but the two Alabama guys, they've been good, but they haven't been great. And then Ryan Kerrigan's kind of on the wrong side of 30. And then Matt Iodine, so he's good, but he's not like a difference maker. So I'll wait to see before I put them even ahead of the 49ers defensive line.
Yeah, what I love about that unit is that you can't double team anybody. And right. The leading sack getter in Washington history, Kerrigan, comes off the bench like a six man, and there just is nowhere to hide. Carson Wentz found that out the hard way this week. Which week one result for you was the most misleading?
I'm going to say the Colts, because I've seen a lot of people write them off and write Phillip Rivers off because of that game. I watched the game, I think it was last night. They should not have lost the game. That was a fluky result. Like, they had two fourth and shorts that they didn't get. They missed a field goal. T.Y. Hilton had a couple drops late on that last drive. The first Phillip Rivers interception was just a great play call by the defense. Honestly, I don't think it was a bad throw. His second one was pretty bad. Or maybe I'm getting those two mixed up. It might have been his first one that was bad. But he was sharp other than that. Like, he was accurate. He was hitting his receivers in stride, hitting them deep down the sideline too, making some tough throws. So I think he's still good. I think the Colts defense definitely needs some work. They made things way too easily on Minshew, but I think they'll be fine going forward. I don't think that division is really all that good. I wasn't really impressed with Tennessee on Monday night. And Houston is just – Bill O'Brien's going to sabotage them. And Jacksonville, they're still very young.
So you mentioned Tennessee there, and I know that's a team that people who listen to the show care a lot about, being here in Knoxville. You sound unimpressed by their win over Denver on Monday.
Yeah, I'm unimpressed, not necessarily because – like, that was a good win. That's a tough win. Going to Denver in September is always hard. I think their record is crazy in September because of the elevation. So anytime you can beat them, it's good. It's just the offense – I thought the Broncos kind of laid a blueprint for slowing down that offense. They limited the deep passes. I don't think Tannehill attempted a pass over 20 yards all game. And they managed to slow down Derrick Henry. So against like a better defense, I think they might have some issues. I don't think they're going to face those in the AFC South. So I think they're going to be in the race, but I don't think they're going to be able to run away with the AFC South. I still think it's a two-team race between them and the Colts, and it really comes down to their two matchups.
You're writing off the Jaguars already?
Oh, yeah. I'm telling you, that game was fluky. Go back and watch that game. It was very fluky.
The next question I have down here is a little bit facetious, a little bit not. I was going to ask if it was an overreaction to say that Gardner Minshew is the best QB in Jags history, which is a very low bar. But it sounds like you're off the Minshew mania King Jockstrap wagon.
Not necessarily. He is the best quarterback since, like, David Garrard. He's better than Blake Bortles. Like, if he was on that 2017 team, they probably would have beat the Patriots. And I really liked Minshew coming out of college. I actually predicted before the draft that he'd be an opening day starter one day. Did not know it was going to be this soon, obviously. But he's a decent quarterback. Like, he's not bad. He's, like, a more in-control version of Ryan Fitzpatrick, I think I'd call him. Like, he's not fast or athletic, but he can scramble, and he's going to try some throws that maybe he shouldn't try. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. On Sunday, it worked a lot.
I think it's funny because everybody made the comparisons with him to a poor man's Baker Mayfield, and right now he is doing everything that you thought Baker would do better than Baker is.
Right. Which is I was one of those people. And the reason why I was like, I was ready to compare him to Baker Mayfield, but I was like, his arm just isn't good enough. Yeah. But I think Baker Mayfield fooled a lot of people with his arm, because if you ever watch Baker Mayfield throw, he looks like he's throwing as hard as he can every time he throws, no matter what. So I think he kind of fools people because he overcompensates for a lack of arm strength by throwing it really hard. And that's why I think he had, like, the fastest time at the combine. Like, when they timed the throws, I think he threw it, like, 60 miles an hour. But I think that was a little misleading, and he doesn't really have that great of an arm.
So from one guy who throws really fast to another that throws pretty fast, Patrick Mahomes, happy birthday, turns 25 today. So the NFL shares the same birthday. NFL turns 100. New face of the NFL turns 25. Coincidence, I think not. But 5 years from now, when he turns 30, what will the first sentence in his Wikipedia be?
It might be, I'm trying to think if it's going to be he's won a lot of MVPs or he's won a lot of Super Bowls, because I think both might happen, but voter fatigue kind of like prevents people from winning a lot of MVPs. Like Michael Jordan didn't win a lot of MVPs. Mm-hmm. But I'm already ready to say he's the most talented quarterback ever, and he's on pace. He's going to, and when his career's over, he's going to be the best quarterback ever. Like, I'm 100%. He's a Hall of Famer already in my book. Like, if he finishes this season like he started it and like he did in 2018, 2019, like, honestly, if he got hurt next year and never played another game, I'd put him in the Hall of Fame.
I'm right there with you, man. Steven Ruiz, thank you for your time. You were fantastic. Where can the people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at TheStevenRuiz and at FTW.USAToday.com. I write there. That's where you'll find my NFL stuff.
All right, if you want to know more about football, that's the place. Steven, thank you very much. Be well.
Yep, anytime. Thanks.
Again, one last time, that was Steven Ruiz. Very gracious to take some time out of a certainly very busy schedule. An up-and-comer in our industry that you should keep your eyes on. Run It Up rolls on. When we come back, we're going to take it to a break. This is Fox Sports Knoxville, WKGN, Fan Run Radio.
Check out my Knoxville TVA.
Run It Up. We just talked to Steven Ruiz. Pretty proud of that interview. A guy I look up to in the industry, does a fantastic job over there at For the Win. Gentlemen, Will Sledd, Justin Scarlett, we will be trying to do exactly what Steven Ruiz, his company, says they do. We're going to try and win. Hello. That's the one.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
You don't, Peyton.
You don't.
That's the great thing about sports. You play to win.
You know what the great thing about last week's picks were?
I went 6-9.
And I went 10-5.
Continue. We're in a hole. We are in a hole. We are not playing to win many games right now. But we're going to fix it this week. The Bengals and Browns are underway. Will, we never found out how many games you won.
I can't remember if I won. I think I went 10 and 6 as well, I think.
Okay.
Not okay. Really sure.
Okay. We'll take it.
Getting whipped up out here on the, in the streets.
It's not good. It is not going well. We will atone. I'm like Joe Burrow. I give myself a D.
Okay.
1% better. All right, Bengals and Browns. The game has started. The Bengals scored first. The Browns are well on the way to doing so, if they haven't already.
We're picking this game as it goes on?
Why not?
Well, I was going to pick the Browns, but after watching the first couple Bengals drives and looking at those, I think I'll go with the Bengals. I think Joe Burrow gets his first win tonight against Baker Mayfield and the Browns.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Bengals as well. Joe Burrow is Joe Burrow.
I can't argue with that. Bengals, baby.
You changed my mind with your monologue to open the show.
I love Joe Burrow.
You swayed me.
I have been on the Joe Burrow wagon for quite... I was early. I said he was going to win the Heisman 2 years ago. I was very wrong. And then I gave up. And then he got good. Giants. They have a game this week. I have it written down as they're at Cleveland, which is... not the case. I need to find out who they play, so we'll skip that one for now.
We have Giants-Bears this weekend. That is the Giants
game. I wrote Klee instead of Chai, my bad. The Bears are a 5.5-point favorite at home. They're looking to go 2-0. The Giants are looking to avoid going 0-2.
That's crazy that they're a 5.5-point favorite over that Giants team.
I don't know how you have 5.5 points of trust in Mitch Trubisky ever, but here we are.
They should have lost Sunday against the Lions.
Absolutely they should have, but they didn't.
This is where I pick. Would you like me to?
Yes.
I'm going to take your boy Daniel Jones and the New York Giants. How about that one?
Danny Dimes.
Especially with the points. I don't think the Giants were that bad. They didn't look that bad except Saquon just against
I don't know if it was Saquon Pittsburgh or Monday night. The Steelers' defense is that good.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Potato, potato. Either way, I want the Giants in this one. Give me the Giants as an underdog, straight up and with the points, especially with Chicago laying 5.5.
Handing out winners?
Take it to the bank.
I wonder with Mitchell Trubisky and the Bears on this one.
I'm with Will again. I don't endorse your message. That's a loser, actually.
Okay.
Atlanta at Dallas. Both teams looking to bounce back from rough opening weekends.
This is another line that confuses me. Dallas at 4 points?
You're really off the Cowboys.
They lost to the Rams last week in primetime against everyone. Everyone watching.
You were very haterish towards the Cowboys, who are that sexy NFC pick like they always are. And you were right. So are you going to bet against them again?
Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And the beauty in my eye is not with the Dallas Cowboys. Give me Atlanta in this one. I thought they looked pretty good last week, actually.
Defense is rough.
They didn't win. But I do like what Matt Ryan balled out. I'm pretty sure he's leading the league in passing right now. He had over 400 yards week one. Give me him against Dallas. I don't think that they can stop him and Todd Gurley.
I'm going to go with the Cowboys. Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott. He had a pretty good game last week, so I'm going to go with the Cowboys.
The man has Feed Zeke tattooed on his stomach. He's screaming, feed him. Yep. McCarthy needs to give him the rock. It is that simple. He's got all the weapons, and I understand that, but the way into the real discussion of what this team can be is if Ezekiel Elliott is touching the football. I don't care if you're passing it to him. Just get him the ball. Amari Cooper is on the injury report. Jordan Lewis is on the injury report. Alden Smith is on the injury report. And Tyron Smith is on the injury report. None of that looks good for Dallas. I'm still picking them.
Okay. All right.
Detroit. Trying to make up for a disaster at home. Another sneaky divisional winner pick for a lot of smart people. I was not one of those smart people, but I might be looking smart now as the MVP, Aaron Rodgers, looks to defend home field.
Yeah, I picked against Green Bay last week and picked with Detroit last week, and both of them I got wrong. So,
This week, give me Green Bay because I think they are very good, and they showed that last week at the Vikings. This has a potential to be a very good team under head coach Matt LaFleur, former Titans coach. So give me Green Bay.
Yeah, give me Green Bay as well. Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers.
Again, he's spot on. I love what's coming out of Will's mouth right now. Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers, and he's very angry.
Yes.
He's going to throw the football very well. Lambeau leaps into nobody. That's going to just be a really odd sight when Aaron Jones scores and then he jumps into the stands and just falls backwards because there's nobody to catch him. Green Bay, though, that's my pick. Jacksonville, Minshew Mania, taking it on the road to Nissan Stadium and the Tennessee Titans. This is an interesting game, kind of quietly.
Leaders of the AFC South right here, number one and number two. Yeah. Yep. Give me Tennessee and the points. 8.5 is kind of a fat line, especially with a team in the Jacksonville Jaguars that just won last week. But give me Tennessee. Derrick Henry always goes off against Jacksonville. Yes. Like, yes. Without a doubt, death, taxes, and Derrick Henry strutting on the Jacksonville Jaguars. So, yes, give me Tennessee and top five AFC quarterback Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with Tennessee on this one as well. Derrick Henry's going to have 150 plus yards, I think.
That's fair. I think that's fair.
He's done that the last two times they played in Nissan Stadium, correct? I remember the 99-yard run that won me a fantasy playoff matchup 2 years ago. Jacksonville, I can already see it. NFL Films, got the camera in there. Minshew's got the boys huddled together. They never believed in us. They didn't want to see us win. And you're right. I don't. Tennessee should win this game. And if they don't, sound the alarms. Because Jacksonville's coming for the Lombardi. Minnesota.
Spicy right there. Yeah.
That's why they pay me $0.00 to do the show. Minnesota. At Indianapolis. Both teams not great in week one. I asked that question to Mr. Ruiz earlier about which 0-1 team needs to win the most this week, and I think these two are the top of the list.
Yeah, I think Indianapolis especially needs a win whenever you're looking at the Titans, especially if the Titans went up 2-0. Indianapolis dropping to 0-2, potentially that would be very bad for their chances of winning that AFC South. And in this one, that's what I think will happen. Give me the Vikings. I thought even though they lost last week against Green Bay, and there were some weaknesses there, I still think that that loss is a lot better than losing to the Jacksonville Jaguars at home. They played at Jacksonville. But
Duval.
Still, give me Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings.
I think I'm going to go with the Colts on this one. Rivers, I think he'll bounce back.
I've been burned once before, but I just can't help myself.
Ride that pony.
I hitched my cart to that horse, and Philip Rivers is trying to make sure that horse comes up lame, but this is the second closest line of the week, so I don't feel good about it, but I'm going with the Colts. Buffalo is at Miami.
Yeah, give me Buffalo. I'm assuming this is a 5.5 Buffalo line. It's not on there. It just says 5.5.
Yes, my bad.
Yeah. Miami, not good. Buffalo, the potential probably to win the AFC East, them and the Patriots. So, yes, give me Buffalo, even though Miami can do some funky things to AFC teams in Miami. But, yes, Buffalo and those 5.5 points because I think this is at least a touchdown game.
Yeah, give me Allen and the Bills on this one.
Allen fumbled twice last week. Actually, I believe he fumbled three times and should have thrown two picks that were not picked off. I really want to pick the Dolphins. I just don't believe in Ryan Fitzpatrick. It needs to be Tua time.
Don't believe in Ryan Fitzpatrick at all.
Although it is against his old team.
Ryan Fitzpatrick has like 15 old teams. You know how many teams that man has played for in his career?
Another good point. I'm going to go with the Bills, begrudgingly, but with the Bills. The Giants are at the Jets, who are catching a lot of flack this week.
You mean the 49ers?
That's all?
The 49ers are at the Jets. You said the Giants.
Oh, yes, my goodness. I am so off my game today.
But, yes, give me the San Francisco Giant 49ers in this one. I don't think it's close at all. The Jets suck.
Yeah, the Jets are terrible, so I'm going to go with the 49ers and Jimmy Garoppolo.
Richard Sherman's on the IL. George Kittle might not play. No Deebo Samuel. No Brandon Ayuk. Kendrick Bourne's their best offensive weapon.
Jimmy G playing against a former divisional rival.
This is also true. The Jets are that bad. No Le'Veon Bell for them either, and it looks like Jamison Crowder might miss this game, which leaves them with a metric zero players on offense that scare me at all. So, yeah, we're going with the 49er Giants. Los Angeles Rams at Philadelphia. Closest line of the week.
Rapid fire here. Give me the Rams. That's it.
I think Carson Wentz is going to bounce back, and I think I'm going to take the Eagles on this one.
Lane Johnson is playing in this football game, and it will not matter because Aaron Donald is unblockable, and Carson Wentz holds the football too long. Give me the Rams. Denver at Pittsburgh.
This is actually interesting. I'm surprised this line is as big as it is at 7.5 to Pittsburgh, but still give me Pittsburgh. I do think Denver is a decent team, though, after watching them last week against the Titans.
A.J. Johnson balled out in VFL.
Especially if they were able to get Von Miller back at any time in the near future.
Yeah. I think this will be a close one at the end, but I'm going to go with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think Big Ben is Big Ben.
Okay, we've got 2 minutes, so one-word answers. We still might not be able to get through this, and if that's the case, we'll run on into hour number two with it. Carolina at Tampa.
Tampa Bay. Give me Tampa Bay. Although I do think this game is closer than the 8.5 line. Don't think Carolina's that bad.
Yeah, give me Tom Brady and the Bucks.
Carolina.
Wow.
Washington football team at the Arizona Cardinals.
You're just doing that because we don't have time to talk about it. Give me Arizona.
I'm going to go with the Washington football team.
I really want to, but I got to go with the Cardinals. Baltimore at Houston. That's a rough start for the Houston Texans.
That's tough. That's the two best teams in the freaking AFC.
NFL. Excuse you.
Probably. Maybe. Give me Baltimore. It's tough to pick against Lamar.
Yeah, it's hard to pick against Lamar, so I'm going to go with the Ravens as well.
I am also going to take Baltimore. Seattle will host New England Sunday Night Football.
This is going to be interesting to see how Seattle handles a Cam Newton Patriots team, but give me Seattle.
I'm going to go with the Patriots on this one.
Seahawks by two touchdowns. New Orleans Saints off to Las Vegas to play the Raiders in the unveiling of Allegiant Stadium Monday Night Football.
How is this only a 6-point line? New Orleans wins this game by at least a touchdown to 10 points.
Well,
I do like Gruden. But I'm going to have to go with the Saints.
Obviously. I don't know why you like Gruden, though. We're going to have to get into that in hour number two. New Orleans will win this game by many points, many touchdowns. This has been hour one of Run It Up, hour two after this. Your pet.